Verse 46, Mark chapter number 10, such a familiar story. I want to reach in here and get something today. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. I want to preach from this old story here today, just what I'm calling blind faith. Blind faith. The healing of blind Bartimaeus is deemed by most commentators to be the fourth and the final such miracle recorded for us in the Gospels. And as the others, it is filled with such nuggets of truth and that challenge us, that cheer us in our own experiences with the Master. This condition of blindness we've associated with the sinner in the state of being lost in sin, for it is such a fitting analogy. The Lord warned Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 28. He said, "The Lord shall smite thee with madness and with blindness and astonishment of heart, and thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness." It's such a perfect picture of the man that's lost in sin that we've included it in some of our greatest songs over the years. We sang in the choir already in this meeting, "Amazing Grace. I once was blind, but now I see. I saw the light just like a blind man. I wandered along." We look at that, and it is such a perfect picture. But it's not the only analogy that we can bring from this physical blindness into the spiritual world. We preached about the man who came to Jesus and got that second touch as a sanctifying experience. He saw things muddled. His vision was in a gray area. He said, "I see men as trees walking." But after that second touch, he got totally cleared, and he said, "I see all men clearly." Oh, we look at it as the blindness as in a backslider, for this man had seen once in his life. He knew the difference between trees and men, but he needed that touch to clear him up. Well, I'd like to look at this just a little different. I felt the Lord deal with my heart about this just a little different. I want to look at this today. Blindness is associated, we've looked at, with the sinner, the backslider, that one that needs that sanctifying touch. But I want to talk to us today about blindness sometimes that affects the believer. For we've got those times when, though we believe, Bartimaeus believed, but he couldn't see. He possessed a blind faith. And I feel like that's what we need in this hour that we are living in. For there are times in our lives that though we can we cannot see, we still have to believe. I thank God for those times when everything is clear. I thank God for those times when His will is laid out before us perfectly, and we know what tomorrow holds, and we know the plan of God, and we know, and we got a pretty good idea where we're going to be next week, and maybe even next year. But there are those times when darkness comes in around us, and even though we believe, and even though we are in the hand of God, we cannot see beyond today. We don't know what tomorrow holds. There's those times when all we have to sustain us is the Word of God that's a lamp unto my feet.
That's not a spotlight. It's not a searchlight. It shows me where I'm walking right now and what I'm at tomorrow. I don't know where I'm going to be tomorrow, but I've got this lamp unto my feet, this light unto my path. In those days when the course gets cloudy and the destination is unsure, I need something that can sustain me in those times when I just cannot see. We need, in these days that we are living in, and I'm convinced that the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the deeper we go into these perilous times that we are living, the darkness of the hours that we are living in, we need something to sustain us in this hour. And I believe I see it in the text today that there is a thing called blind faith that'll believe what it can't see, that'll trust what it can't trace. My faith too many times is like Thomas's. Lord, if I could see, I would believe. But that's really not faith. That's really not. That's just an experience. That's not faith. Except I see, I will not believe. But Jesus said, Thomas, because you've seen, you believe. Blessed are those who don't see, and yet they can believe anyway. And that's what I want to preach to us about today. A blind faith that can reach out to what it can't see. That can get a hold of what's not even there. And reach out and get a hold of something. And sustain us in the hour that we are living in. I want to talk to you just a few minutes about blind faith here today. Number one, blind faith. What I see in the text here, it tells me that its experiences are personal. And blind faith, first and foremost, is a personal faith. And my brothers and sisters today, we need, as much as anything, a personal faith in this hour. I think part of what we are struggling with in this hour is that we are trying to navigate the storm of a personal crisis on the strength of a mutual faith. I thank God for camp meeting because the mutual faith, I'm strengthened together by your faith because I'm with you, and that's why I want to get to church and call for the elders of the church to anoint and lay hands on me. Because there's something about mutual faith, and we get together, can move the hands of God. But when I leave church or when I go into the storm of my life, I've got to have a personal faith. There's going to be a day when this meeting's over and I've got to go home. And I cannot rely upon your experience anymore. I cannot rely upon your strength anymore. I've got to have something that'll guide me. I've got to have something that I can get a hold of. So blind faith is a faith that has a relationship, a personal relationship with a personal Savior. Look at Bartimaeus in the text. Look at the position in which he sat. Blind Bartimaeus sat by the wayside begging. Here's a man that's in a hopeless situation. He's absolutely hopeless. His condition has digressed to the point that he has begun to be identified by his condition. He's born simply Bartimaeus, but he struggled with this so long now that he's blind Bartimaeus. Everybody knows him by the problem he's got. And there's so many of us that things have a way, life, circumstances have a way of dominating our lives until it's hard to tell where the man stops and the problem starts. We begin to be identified. I preach revival year after year in different churches. And the pastor will call a name of somebody. I may not remember that name, but then he'll say, it's the sister with this condition. And immediately, I remember that individual because there's a condition there that has so dominated the life of that person that now they are identified by it. Oh, how many are here today have been in that battle so long, in that fight so long, that you become identified by the problem that we have in our lives, and we've decided to sit down and live within the boundaries of our prescribed handicap. There was a day we had hopes, we had dreams, we had desires, but now the situation has left us sidelined, and we sit back, and because of our limitation, we have learned just to live within the limits. Some have said, some commentators say that Bartimaeus was the son of a blind man. I don't know. But if that's the case, it just makes the case worse and the cure more wonderful. If in fact he was the son of a blind man, because there's some things that are hereditary conditions. There's things that we're facing. My family was like, my dad was like this. My mom was like this. You don't understand, preacher. My grandpa was, it's as ingrained and to become a part of, I cannot change who I am. I cannot change my nature. And therefore, we resign ourselves to sit down and live in the circle that circumstance has drawn for us. We are in a hopeless situation. He is in a helpless state for now. He's identified by problem, but he's got to live upon the benevolence of somebody else. His whole life has been described and confined to a cloak and a cup, and he sits out there every day hoping somebody will come by and give me something that'll get me by. That's the way some of us come to church. I hope somebody's got a song. I hope somebody's got a sermon. I hope somebody's got something to come by today. I need something to get me by. Every meal he eats is because somebody else worked for it. Every time he gets a drink, it's because somebody else did. Aren't you tired of living in that situation? Or the only time I get a blessing is if somebody can preach it high enough, or somebody can sing the song just right. Oh, like that woman in Luke chapter 13, the Bible said she was bowed together and could in no wise, she could in no wise lift up herself. How many times have I looked at somebody over the years and we say, I wonder why he don't straighten up. Why don't she just straighten up? There's times when we get so bound we can't get loose. I'd like to straighten up, preacher. I'd like to do better. But I am helpless to do anything about where I am at. And the flame of aspirations extinguished by the circumstance. And now we're just left to live on the benevolence of others. Thank God for revivals. Thank God for camp meetings, because that's what keeps me alive. Somebody walks by and drops a few coins in a cup, and that keeps me going. I get up Sunday morning and somebody brings me to the church, and I sit in a pew with the cup outreached, and a pastor drops by and a few coins, and that'll get me by to Wednesday night. And Wednesday night, I'm back in the pew with the cup out. Give me a few more coins to get me by. That is where Barnabas sat. He's hopeless and he is helpless. And I will preach just today that he didn't end up there. We may be sitting where he's sitting at, but you don't have to stay in that spot. We don't have to stay on that seat. There is hope. And in his helpless situation, somewhere, some way, he found a way to get beyond it. So you see, this blind faith begins to work. It's not just in a position he's sitting. You see it starting to work for the person now that he is seeking. I don't know where. I don't know how. I don't know when it was. But somewhere, some way, somehow, somebody gave Bartimaeus a name. I can see him as he sat there that day just like he always did. Sitting by the gate, and a Jericho cup's out, ready, hoping somebody will just give me something that'll get me by. I feel like there's some of us that are here today, eyes closed, we're hoping somewhere in this meeting, somebody gives me something that'll just get me by another day. I can hear, see old Barnabas as he sits there by the gate. And he hears the crowd, and somebody's talking about a healer. Somebody's talking about a man that in his touch, the deaf ears are opened. And Barnabas tunes his ear in now. At this man's touch, the lepers are cleansed. At his touch, the dead are raised. At his touch, the lame begin to walk. And Barnabas is tuned in now. And he hears those words he thought he'd never hear. At his touch, blind eyes are open. And Barnabas said, that's what, they probably said a lot more, but that's all he heard. That's what I was looking for. That's what I wanted to hear. I don't have to stay here. There is a way out. And there is a deliverance out of the situation that I'm in today. Can you see him? Can you see him as he tries to get your attention? Come here. Come here. Hey, 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 come here. Come here. Come here. I can see him as they start toward him. They're reaching for some money. He hears the clink of the coins. I don't want your money. I want the name. Today I don't want money. Today I don't want, I want to know the name. I want to know the name of that healer. I want to know the name of that deliverer. Can you tell me his name? Oh, ain't that the most important question today? Can you tell me there is a way out? You don't have to stay where you're at. Oh, they used to sing a song. Can you tell me his name again? Can you tell me one more time? They said his name is Jesus of Nazareth. And at that moment, faith came alive in the heart of Barnabas. What I need is not another handout. What I need is not another somebody dropping a few coins in a cup. What I need is an encounter at Jesus Christ. What I need is to meet this man. I believe from that day, the focal point of his life became the name of Jesus Christ. He went to bed with the name of Jesus on his lips. And when his eyes opened in the morning, Jesus was on his lips. Will today be the day when he comes by my way? I don't know where you're sitting at this morning, but this could be the day when he comes by your way. I thank God for every time somebody's helped me. I thank God for every song I've heard, every sermon that's lifted me. But I'm waiting on the day when he comes by. I'd like to get up. I'm tired of sitting here. I'm tired of this circumstance. I'm just waiting on that day. That's the first mark of blind faith. Its experiences are personal. It wants more than just a story of glory. I want more. I thank God for what I've heard that's challenged my soul. But I'm still sitting here. You see, I've heard how blind eyes are open. I've heard how he's touched them. I've heard how he comes and he stops a funeral procession and a dead boy gets up. But that still left me sitting right where I'm sitting. It's made me on the inside put a faith and put a hope in my heart. But it ain't changed me. And that's where we've been. We've come to camp meeting and heard the stories. We've heard about the glory falling. We've heard about the glory of the burning bush. We've heard of the glory of God. But we're still sitting. I want it more now than I ever have. I believe it's out there, but that's not change. I need something I can take home with me. I need a personal. I'm sure that from that moment on, every passerby that stopped, hey, can you tell me anything else about Jesus? Can you tell me anything about this healer? Hey, you got any more stories about him? Do you know where he's at? Do you know where he's? And there came a day when somebody probably came by and said, he's pretty close. He's only 20 or 30 miles away. And when I saw him down there, he was healing. And I saw him down there, and Barnabas is waiting on that day. Now, it may look like to the passerby that he's just like where he was. He's still sitting on the same bench. He's still holding the same cup. But something's different on the inside of him that you cannot see. That may be where you're at today. You may be sitting in the same pew you've always sat in, but something's changed on the inside. I'm still holding the same cup. I'm still wearing the same cloak, but I got a hope in my heart. I came into the meeting. I thought it'd never change. And already I feel like something's about to change. I feel like he's close. I know he's near. And I'm waiting on the day when he stops by my way. See, blind faith, not only are its experiences personal, but its exclamations are passionate. Blind faith is not a passive faith. Now I know to the onlooker, Barnabas is still sitting right where he always sat. You may not see any difference in him, but there's a difference. Down deep inside his heart is a cauldron that's boiling. Down inside of him, there's a hope that's on fire. He can't hardly keep his seat. He's waiting for a chance to turn it loose. There's a passion inside of him that's been pent up for years, and he's just waiting on a chance to get turned loose. Oh, I'd like to see somebody get turned loose in this meeting this week, wouldn't you? I'd like to get turned loose in this meeting. I feel like somebody's sitting waiting. It's boiling. You've heard the preaching, and now we're ready. I'm looking for that day. I look like I'm just sitting where I always sat. Same seat, same person. But something's changed on the inside. And Barnabas is just waiting on a day when he can turn the passion loose. He's waiting on a day when he can vent his frustrations before the Lord. Look at him as he sits there. See blind faith. faith working in the proclamation now that he considers. Notice what Luke said about it. There's a difference in the multitude. And that multitude, he asked them what it meant. There's something different in the service today. I can hear, I know the crowd. He's listening now. It shows us what to do with your handicaps. He cannot look, but he can still listen. There's things I cannot do in my condition, but there's still some things I can do, and I'm going to use what I got left for the glory of God. I'm going to head church with what I got left. You could get out of where we're at today if you'd learn to use what you got left. I know life has taken a lot from us, and circumstances taken a lot out of your hands, but you got some stuff left today, and you could glorify God with what you got left.
He asks him, what's going on? Something's different in that crowd today. Something's different here. I cannot see it, but I sense something different. Could you feel it in the service last night? Did you feel it Sunday? We've had camp meeting, but it seemed like something's different. I feel something different. I feel something in the atmosphere. Something's different here. Might be time to stop and say, all right, Lord, what's different? I've been to church. I've been to camp meeting all my life. But I'm feeling something different. I've sat here week after week outside this gate, but there's something different in this crowd today. There's something different that's going on here. And he asked somebody, tell me what's going on. And Luke said, they told him. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. I want you to notice this is where blind faith really goes to work. He cannot see Jesus. At this point, he's not even close enough to hear him. So he takes and puts his trust in what somebody else is telling him. And he decided that though he could not see him, and though he could not touch him, he could not feel him, he couldn't see him, he couldn't even hear him, he decided to believe what he'd been told. And I'm wondering today, as you're sitting where you're sitting, and you can't feel Jesus, I appreciate seeing Brother Lindell shouting down. I just didn't feel it. I saw Brother Gabbard feel it. I just didn't feel it. Can you get enough faith to believe what you're being told? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I cannot see him, but I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to believe what you're telling me. I'm going to believe the fact that you tell me he's here. I'm going to believe. I trust the ministry. I trust the men of God who have been praying about this meeting, who have brought us to this place. I trust Brother Burns. I trust Brother Gavin. I trust the preacher. I trust Brother Dean that's coming. I trust the ministry enough. I don't feel him. But if you say he's here, I'm going to respond anyway. That's blind faith. It'll move when it don't feel like moving. It's going to worship when it don't feel. He don't see anything to worship about. But somebody said Jesus is near. Somebody said Jesus is in the house. And I need Jesus. So I'm just going to go ahead and worship him. I'm going to worship him even when I don't see any reason to. I'm going to worship him even when I don't feel like doing it. Somebody said he's in the house. Oh, do you have the faith this morning to reach out when you can't see anything to reach out for? To lift up hands when you don't see any reason to lift up. My situation, just like it was, Barnabas did, for he proves it in the passion of his cry. They told him Jesus was near. And though he could not see him, he couldn't even hear him, he could not feel him, he went straight to work. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He's crying to somebody he can't see. He's crying to somebody he can't even feel. But if he's here, I want my chance. If somebody's going to feel him, I want my chance today. I can see that you feel him. I can see that your preacher. So I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to cry out as I need my minister with the master. Jesus, our son of David, have mercy on me. I am not a Greek scholar by no means, but I get some commentaries, and they said that word here that they use for Bartimaeus' crying was a strong empowered word. It was a word that with great
emphasis and power. It's a word, I don't know, for lack of better pronunciation, it's krazo. It's K-R-A-Z-O, which meant to shriek or to scream. He heard that Jesus was near. That's good enough for most people in the crowd. But I remember something they told me about him. As many as touched him. As many as touched him were made whole. So there's something I remember from what I've learned about him. I got to touch him. It's not enough just to be in the same crowd that he's in. For I could be in the same crowd that he's in and somebody else get healed and I stay where I'm sitting. So it's not enough for me to just be where he's at. I have got to be touched. That's where some of us are sitting at today. We've come to camp meeting and felt his presence in here around this altar last night, but we left carrying the same burden. We left carrying the same problem because we didn't get close enough to touch him. So Bartimaeus said, I need him to come close. I don't just want to know that we had church today. He was here. How'd you know? I saw the preacher get anointed. I heard the singing. No, I want to leave here today. He said, he was here because I felt him. He touched me. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy. He put his heart into getting a hold of how many have left with no touch because he didn't put our heart into the cry. I know, preacher, but people think I'm crazy. What if he's not here? Well, you're still just blind. You're no worse off than you were if you don't get healed. But what if he is here? And what if this is a day that he's decreed? What if this is a day that heaven wrote my name on the date book of the universe? That heaven said, today I'm coming by where he sits. Today Bartimaeus gets his visitation. Bartimaeus puts his heart into the crying. So I love it. Blind faith can't see what they're doing. He's sitting there screaming, crying like crazy. Jesus! That's what you got to do when you get desperation. You don't see everybody's wondering what in the world is she doing in the service. This ain't the time to be shouting. This ain't the time to be running. But when you're blind, you don't see all that. You just got focused in that Jesus is close. And I'm going to cry till he gets here. I pray God will close your eyes to who's sitting beside you. God will close your eyes to who's, and when you hear he's near, wherever that's at, if it's in the middle of the preaching, if it's at the prayer request, wherever he comes by your way, that's when you need to get up. That's when you need to move out. That's when you need to let him have his way. But see what happens? Blind faith's not even deterred when the ridicule gets personal. For many, the Bible said, many charged him that he should hold his peace. He said, come on, Bartimaeus, hush. You're disturbing church this morning. We had a plan. We're supposed to have three preachers here, and then we go, and this is our program. This is our plan. But Jesus interrupted it. It wasn't me. I'd have been content just to sit here. But he showed up. I'd have been content just to sit. But you just don't understand how bad I need a touch today. You don't understand how bad I need a move of God right now. So Bartimaeus, I love what the Bible said. He said, hold his peace. And he cried the more a great deal. Jesus! He turned up the persecution. He turns up praise. I gotta have him. You see, just a moment ago, it was faith that said, he's probably here. They told me he's here. Either they're pulling a prank on me or he's here. He assumes that Jesus is near. But when the persecution starts, he knows Jesus is here. For they're saying, you need to hush. Jesus is here. That's what I needed to hear. See, the devil's plan backfires sometimes. I didn't know if I was getting close to where I needed to be. But when he ratcheted up the attack and the devil started tormenting my mind last night and the devil started telling me it's not for you, I realized healing was in the house. I realized this could be my camp meeting. And he now knows that Jesus is near. He was crying loud a while ago, but now he knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is in shouting distance. So he turns it up and says, Jesus, have mercy. I want to hurt you close. Three things I felt the Lord deal with my heart about blind faith. Its experiences are personal. Its expressions are passionate. But I want you to understand today its effects are powerful. Here's why we need blind faith in the hour we're living in. Because blind faith is an effective faith. And for our religion to work and for our faith to prevail, it must be effective. It has to be effective. We can't learn. I've seen organizations die out and dry up with great preaching, with great singing, with great seminars and conferences. We have got to have something that works. We got to have an answer. Things are coming against us in this hour. We got to have an answer for it. The barrage of the adversary is coming against us in this hour. We have got to have something that'll answer the attack. We have got to have an effective faith. And blind faith is absolutely effective. Look at it. See how powerful it is? Look at the pausing Christ. You see, in the verses leading up to this, Luke records it and does Mark. Jesus had set his face to go to Jerusalem. Peter's tried to stop him. He marches around him. The Pharisees have tried to stop him. He marches around them. His face was set. He won't stop now. He is on his way. He has got a date that was foreordained from the foundation of the world. Calvary was marked. The calendar of God is rushing down toward Calvary. And Jesus was on his way to save the world when all of a sudden he stopped in his tracks by the cry of one desperate man. He's on his way to save me, and Bartimaeus stopped. He's on his way to save the world. He's on his way to die for the sins of humanity. And all of a sudden, above the cries of the crowd, comes a voice of desperation. Jesus! And all of a sudden, heaven pushes pause on the plans for the universe. And heaven stopped. I love those words. Do you realize the power in those words? And Jesus stood still. Heaven stopped for just a moment. A salvation of the world was put on hold just a moment. A deal with one individual. Oh, hallelujah. I believe if we could get that power, that faith today, I'd like for heaven to stop in Broxton this week. I'd like for heaven a tabernacle among us this week. I thank God for every sweeping of the glory of God that swept through the house like we felt last night. I appreciate every time the choir sings and I feel the glory of God sweep through the house. But what I'm looking for is for somebody to cry till heaven stops. And the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords just comes to a standstill and the cloud rests over the house. And the people journeyed not till the cloud moved. I like for just a little while the cloud to hover right over his tabernacle at Calvary Holiness Fellowship. I like for the glory of God. You know what it'll take? Somebody to forget where we're at. Somebody to forget the program. Somebody to forget the plan. And say, I'm here because I got to have a move of God. I'm here because I got to have a personal touch. I got to have something in my heart. Power of blind faith illustrated in the pausing of Christ. And now the fact that Bartimaeus has given a personal call. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they call the blind man saying, rise, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. I love that picture. Or just a moment ago, sitting, screaming with everything in him, calling on God. With the, Jesus! He's sitting, calling on Jesus. But somehow another faith got to working. And now Jesus is calling on him. That's power. That's the power of blind faith. Until you cry, until heaven stops, you keep crying. And one day you'll touch him. And when you touch him, Jesus said, I'm here. Put the world on hold. I'm here today to deal with you, Bartimaeus. The multitude on hold. I came today to deal with you. Oh, I love to see when he said to put the camp meeting on hold today. I came today to heal you. I came today to deliver you. I came today to get you up. I came. He looks at it. He calls out to him now. Come, Bartimaeus. I don't know, but I've wondered, why didn't Jesus go to where Bartimaeus was? I saw days that he did. I saw when he stepped over people to get to one man who lay in a sea of impotent folks. By the pool of Bethesda. He walked to where he laid and touched him. I don't know. Maybe there's other reasons. But I believe what it shows us is one more example of the power of blind faith. Where now Bartimaeus has got up. Rise, Bartimaeus. He's calling you. But he's still blind. And he's still in general vicinity. He's over here somewhere. Felt enough faith to get up. But it's still not what I got what I need. He's a long way. He cannot see where Jesus is at. How will he get to Jesus? How will I get to him? I know he's there. I know he's calling for me. But it feels like I'm a million miles, preacher, from there to that altar. Feels like it's a million miles between me and what I need. And I don't know, but all of a sudden, while Bartimaeus is there, he feels a hand that he cannot see. For Jesus commanded to go. And out of the hand of the night, somebody said, I know you can't see, but I'm going to help you get to where he's at. You keep standing there. He'll be a Holy Ghost hand that slides out of hands you can't see. But I'm going to put my confidence in a hand that I can't see. And he's going to lead me right on to the miracle. He's going to gently guide me right up to where the deliverance is. He gently leads him to the master. And there he encounters a permanent cure. Jesus asks him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? That is what a question. And the omnipotent God said, what do you want? And you hear him this morning, oh, saint of God, where you're sitting, the Holy Ghost said, what do you need in this meeting? What do you need in this service, in this camp meeting? What do you need? What do you want? Oh, the power of such a question. There was a day, Bartimaeus was accustomed to such questions. He lived as a beggar. He had heard it before, but something was moving in him today. When they asked him yesterday, you could say, Bartimaeus, what do you want? Just a few coins. A piece of bread, a drink of water, a help across the street. There's something different today. Up to today, I've been praying, just get me by. Today, I'm going to dare to believe I can get out. Get me out. Set me free. Today, I dare to ask the impossible. Lord, and I might receive my sight. I don't need a drink of water. I don't need a piece of bread. Hey, if you'll touch me, I'll get my own water. I'll get my own bread. I'll do it for myself. I need the impossible. Oh, how many today dare to ask God the impossible? And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately, one touch is all it takes. One touch, immediately. It isn't always that way, but blind faith doesn't care. When it gets to touch, he may say, go wash, and blind faith will stagger through town. When it looks like God is spitting his face, I believe I'm going to get healed. Oh, I'm fixing to close. But there's times it seems like we come to God for a touch, and instead of a touch, he just made it worse. In front of people, he leads us out and spits in our face. Rubs us our face in the dirt and said, now go clean yourself. And if it's like us, we sit back down with a cloak and a cup. But not blind faith. Blind faith will stagger through the camp. Where are you going? Point me to the pool. Point me to the pool. He's hurt me, but I believe he's going to help me. I read a story today, and I'm closing. He's a little old boy. I think it was TB that he had contracted years and years ago. He's just a small little old chap. And his mama had told him, they were taking him to this doctor who was world renowned. He's the only person, they said, the only chance he's got at the cure. But they said in those days that the treatment was so painful. The treatment was almost worse than the disease itself. His mama prepared him, Brother Joy. She said, he probably hurt you. And what he's going to do to you is going to hurt. But I want you to know that he's only doing it because he loves you. And it's the only hope you've got of getting healed. So try to be brave. Try to stand up. It's going to hurt, son, but it's the only hope we got of getting this out. They said he went in there and through the shots and through the strain and through all the procedure, Tears are streaming down the little boy's face. The hardened nurses were crying because the pain that little boy was feeling, but he gritted his teeth. And through the tears, he reached up. The doctor said, "Are you wanting to say something, son?" "Yes, sir." And he said, "Dr. Toomer, I just want to thank you for hurting me." That's what blind faith does. It hurts. But I know I'm going to get healed. So there's times I got to look back to God. "Thank you, Lord, for hurting me. Because I got hurt, I come out healed." He washed in a pool of Siloam and he came back seeing. I don't care that I was hurting just a little while ago. I'm healed today. Oh, we need that power of blind faith. We need that. We need something that'll get us off the sideline and get us back on the main line. His faith brought him to Jesus. And immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus in the way. When you get your touch, do something with it. When you get your touch, put it to good use.
Here's the last thing. Look at the reaction of the crowd and all the people when they saw it gave praise unto God. This crowd, my generation, needs to see the power of blind faith. For when we see it, we'll give faith, give praise to God. One old writer said it like this: faith is to believe what we do not see. And the reward of faith is to see what we've already believed. Faith is to see what we do not see, and the reward of that faith is when we see what we've already believed. Would you stand, lift your hands this morning? Give God the glory.